Welcome to the Minute Maid Gang podcast for Saturday, August 15th, 2009. This is Steve Borsch. With me is Tim Elliott.
And I'm feeling good.
And Graham Thickens.
I like that music. Kind of a little Les Paul influence in there. That's
a little,
good.
Yeah, a little bit. And Phil Wilson.
That would be the late Les Paul, I believe. So.
That would be the late Les Paul.
R.I.P.
It also kind of has sort of a Brady feel to it, a little Brady Bunch.
Really?
You know. Yeah.
Brady Bunch?
This is actually L.A. Big Daddy. And I got it from MusicAlley.com, which is the, you know, the Adam Curry PodSafe Music Network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll play it in its entirety at the end. It's pretty cool. Anyway. So how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Doing great.
Excellent. What a
sitting
blog
by
well.
A lake inside my air-conditioned vehicle and stealing some Wi-Fi from the library. Well, it's free. I'm not stealing. It's
oh yeah.
Actually, basking in the afterglow of that wonderful job at Blogwell, I thought we did.
Oh,
I really
so
enjoyed
fun.
That. That was fun.
That was just awesome. Well, in fact, so much so, I did a post this morning. Because I took my wife, I got up at 5 and took her to the airport, so I had a little extra time this morning, and I did a post on Scribbled Live, or Scribble Live.
Yeah, I saw it. It looks great.
What a great tool. It was just blown away. And then, actually, very surprised at how really well done Blogwell was. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I was. What'd you guys think?
I thought it was wonderful. I thought they really did. They did a fine job. I really think they did a fine job. It's one of the better organized and well presented events. And you know, hey, we got to try new yogurt and nut clusters. And you know, hey,
exactly. General Mills was a great host.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was an excellent facility.
And we all got soup.
And we got soup. Yeah.
I didn't take any soup.
Oh. Yeah.
Has anyone tried that yet?
Not yet. No.
Okay,
that'll be lunch. Tried the all natural snack bars.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Some good, some rather not so good. But hey, you know, what are you gonna do?
That's right.
Well, I don't know if that was by design, but it was sort of brilliant that you get some thought leaders together in one room, and then you show them, you know, you basically present them with all your new test market pre release stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So maybe they're doing a little experiment in buzz marketing.
Sure, you bet. Yeah. And I guess it was the PR people that largely helped organize the whole, you know, the logistics and everything, and they did a real nice job. I interviewed Jim Keane, the director of interactive marketing, and I believe he said it was the PR department that kind of took responsibility to put the whole thing together, and they did a real nice job. But getting our picture taken with the Doughboy, that was the highlight.
That
I want that
awesome.
Photo, Steve. You gotta.
No, Tim's got it. Tim, I sent
no,
sent you an email.
Okay.
Didn't I add it to the Dropio?
Yeah, it's in.
Oh, you did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I put them in the Dropios, the one with Phil. That's inappropriate, but you know,
all right. Which one's that? That was me pressing his tummy. Come on, that's what you do to the Doughboy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I thought it was.
It was not going any lower. I was not in his
Are you sure it was a heat?
I wasn't in his crescent roll area.
You know, that's right.
And it could have been a dough girl in there for all
that's
we know.
Right.
Like that. I was telling Tim that some guy got arrested at Disney World for groping Minnie Mouse.
Oh,
so we had to be real careful.
How funny is that? Hey, I'm looking at the drop.io and I don't see it.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, I'll put it in there.
Okay, cool. Well, so it was really fascinating to listen to these case studies and having people that actually are charged with the responsibility of doing it and how. I guess for me, the one headline was that everybody is learning. They're in learning mode. They're trying to figure out how to better engage and how to measure what's happening and all of that. What were your headlines, Graham?
Well, yeah, that was what I thought too. I mean, they are having some successes. but they're still really feeling things out. McDonald's, you know, talked about how the regions were trying to do so much on their own, and they had to basically come down on them and say, no, we're going to coordinate this out of headquarters. And, you know, I got the impression that they're still really getting their act together. But they were still quite positive. But these big companies, you know, it's difficult coordinating between all the departments. They, more than one of them talked about that, and more than one questioner in the audience asked that. How do you rope everybody into this?
Yeah.
And there's probably some internal wrangling of who's in charge of social media, but it certainly seems to be becoming a communications-centered function. Most of these people presenting were corporate communications or senior marketing people.
The most impressive presentation of the day was Ford's.
Absolutely.
Really, really impressed with that presentation. And I think most of it had to do with, you could really feel the passion. Is it Scott Monty that presented that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Passionate guy about social media, about not just necessarily the medium itself, but the ability to build relationships and the community building. And he was genuinely into it and did a heck of a job. I was very impressed. It wasn't many of the speakers shared that same passion, but it wasn't as obvious and overt. And I think a lot of those folks were, marketing or PR representatives. And this guy was truly an evangelist. I thought it was really great to see what Ford was doing. And, you know, I think there has to be a correlation made between that passion for customer service or relationship building and community and the fact that, you know, Ford's the only one that hasn't declared bankruptcy, you know.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, I think they're feeling their oats. You know, I think Ford is on a roll, and they're coming out with some new vehicles. But yeah, I interviewed him afterwards, and I posted my interviews on my own blog. But I said he really represented the brand well. The guy loves being on stage, and you know, you could just sense the passion, like you say, and that YouTube video of him showing Alan Mulally, the CEO, what Twitter was all about was a riot, and showing him how to tweet and how he can talk to people on Twitter, and then having him call that one guy who tweeted that he was, you know, that he wondered if Mulally thought he was crazy being a VW zealot to be wanting to buy a Ford Edge, and he actually had the CEO call the guy this guy that had tweeted, and then the guy ended up writing a great big positive post about Ford. And so that was a pretty great story. So there were the anecdotal stories that they all told were wonderful, you know.
Well, this is going to sound funny, but...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you kidder. But since I went out and searched for people's social media footprint in advance, so I could put together a little text file that we used to cut and paste, I went out and I actually was able to look at who had a blog, who had a Twitter account, who was doing what, you know. And you can also tell sometimes just by doing a search on someone's name and their company affiliation, in this case, how many digital breadcrumbs they have all over the place. And so a lot of people anecdotally that I talked to said the same thing about who do you think was the highlight in terms of presentation? Well, it was Ford, or Scott Monty of Ford. Well, here's the thing. Scott Monty has the biggest footprint. He has the most professional blog, and the one that's integrated extensively. And this is not where the company's gone out and, you know, paid a bunch of money for him to go do this. This is clearly what he's done on his own to set the thing up. And
he's only been with Ford for a little over a year. He worked for a large consulting firm
that
was working with big corporations in social media. So he was pretty social media savvy before Ford recruited him, apparently.
Yeah, okay. Well, and but you know, in terms of people wanting to model somebody, you know, if they're in a company and they want to look at a best practice, I mean, this guy kind of embodies the best practice.
Mhm. Yeah, I would agree.
Listen, I talked to a couple of people, mostly from the PR space, after the event, and one of the comments I got was, "Boy, I'm just really tired of talking about social media. Is marketing becoming overly obsessed with social media?"
Well, one could argue that, I suppose.
I saw an article today on Mashable. Was it 2/3 of, or 80%? I can't remember what it was. Marketing firms are now participating or doing social media. I think that's good. I mean, I think it's a piece, but have people become too enamored with social media?
No,
go ahead.
No, I think it's a fundamental change in the way that marketing and PR is going to work going forward. I think we're at this inflection point where things are changing. And what was interesting at Blogwell is we're seeing a lot of social media coming out of the PR side and being then integrated into the marketing departments of these big companies. Mm-hmm. And I think that social media is part PR, part marketing. And so it's going to be a kind of a fusion going forward. And it's a huge change. So I don't think that you know, people are spending too much time because they're trying to figure out how we're going to do marketing and PR in the next, you know, a few years. And this is going to be the way that marketing and PR is done.
Yep. Yeah.
At the expense of other marketing and PR outlets?
In some cases, yes, but it will take some time before branding truly gets into the social space. I think that there's going to be a place for broadcast, both radio and television, for a while, but clearly the handwriting's on the wall that's even going to change. And I think there's plenty of room there for innovation, and we could see some kind of social broadcast model evolve.
Yeah, the things are really changing for PR and the media is downsizing. There are less reporters, less pages to fill. You know, print publications are closing left and right. It's a changing world for the PR folks, and some of them are so traditional and tied to the world of print and broadcast media relations that they aren't up to speed on social media yet. I mean, we see a lot of people who are in PR who are very savvy with social media, but by no stretch is the entire PR community dealing with it yet the way that they need to be. They're still learning, and a lot of them were there at this event for sure. But yeah, it's. I agree, Tim. It's changing marketing and PR forever. There's also a tug going on between advertising and PR for who will sort of control social media, and so agencies are vying with one another, and they always do anyway. But I think what's happened, social media has elevated PR to a higher position and where it's taking some of the budget away from what would have been traditional advertising, perhaps. So you know, you've got a little more tenseness maybe between the ad agencies and the PR agencies, or forcing them to work closer together, which all the major brands are very much about. Anyway, the good ones, you know, they can't have the PR and advertising agencies, not cooperating. They need to work together to make social media work. So, but there was a post that I read recently about a media, I think it was on Media Post, about ad agencies and PR firms kind of, you can feel the the tenseness that between the two when it comes to social media. You know, so many companies are doing so many great things, and we heard about it at Blogwell and on really both the advertising and PR sides that it can be done.
Can I hop back to something that Tim, you mentioned? You used the term social broadcast. Is that a kind of an oxymoron, though?
No, I think that there's technologies that could be created, and we're seeing some signs of this now with the broadcast television, and you vote by SMS. And so I think we're going to see a lot more of that, and hopefully it gets more sophisticated than just SMS to this number.
But doesn't social media, meaning broadcast media, there's a point where there's a limit to which broadcast can go socially, because how much can you tailor a broadcast to an individual or a set of individuals without becoming a narrow cast?
Right.
By giving them interesting tools. I'm not sure if everyone has an Xbox 360, but they just pushed a new version of their software that allows anyone with an Xbox to share a movie, and you can talk, or you can email, or IM back and forth across the service while you're watching the movie. So, you know, I could be watching the movie with my brother-in-law in Atlanta and start it, and he's watching on his Xbox at the same time. So, I mean, that's an interesting way of sharing a broadcast experience. And so I think there's things that can be done along those lines that will involve the viewer a lot more than what we're seeing today.
Maybe it's just me from you know, my concept of broadcast, but really, Tim, what we've talked about and what we've all talked about here is not necessarily affecting content of broadcast, but back channel on broadcast. Is that what we're talking about? Rather than, because I always tend to look at the social space as being able to impact content. And you may not necessarily be able to with just voting up, voting down. Because if all of a sudden you're affecting programming choices or content choices, then it becomes more and more niched and more narrowly focused to a smaller group, which is contrary to broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. But, so maybe broadcast is dead, but...
No, I think it's the two-way communication. I think that there's something very valid in the ability to reach out to your audience and get input back from your audience, because as I've said many, many times, broadcast is really, really good at talking and not as good as it used to be at listening. So anything to open up a channel to listen, I think, is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a very good point. Yeah. It's that back channel thing that you mentioned that's it got to be interesting to the broadcasting folks, you know, or it certainly should be.
Right. Well, and the back channel is interesting in different aspects. And this will be my final point on that. It's like I hearken back to the Ignite event not too long ago. Now, I wasn't at the Ignite event, but I did watch the video and I did talk to a lot of folks afterwards. And probably the thing that was most commented on was scrolling tweets on a screen next to the presenter. And it basically became a heckle channel. To me, that is a pointless use of back channel. If it's back channel, it shouldn't take the foreground, because mm-hmm. especially in a situation where somebody can't react to the back channel, you're not going to change your Ignite presentation. You've got 20 slides, you've got 5 minutes, you can't do anything to change it. So what good is getting that input to the actual user at that time?
Yeah, all it does is it gives a place for smartasses to heckle, you know.
There are no smartasses in social media. You know that.
But it almost encourages it when you put it up on the screen next to the speaker like that. You're just like begging people to be smart, you know, to say smartass things about the speaker, you know.
Exactly. Well, anyway, you know, so much for that. But I did want to also say that what a great time it was to use and be part of the whole Blogwell experience doing the live blogging, because I think that, you know, I've never seen a level of participation. And again, it sounds like we're blowing our own horn. I realize that. But I mean, we were doing video, we were doing pictures, we were doing, you know, commentary. And it was really fun to see that happen.
And text boy here. Yeah,
and text.
Actually fat fingering. No, your videos were great, and Tim's photos, and Steve was unbelievable. He was a maniac, and but the four of us together, yeah, it looked pretty impressive by the time we were through. What was it, 244 posts?
Yeah, well, then we had like 265 people who had come in. I think out of that, 192 uniques. So
yeah,
people came back in more than once.
So an additional 200 people were able to be part of Blogwell without actually being there.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and there, people were being very complimentary on Twitter. You know, obviously I tweeted, the link several times over the course of before the event and after the event, and people were retweeting it and thanking and follow Fridaying and, you know, the next day and talking about it on the hashtag Blogwell was still pretty active, the next morning.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So it was great. And again, kudos, Steve, for finding us Scribble Live.
Thanks. Yeah, it was.
Scribble Live was just an awesome find.
And I want to take just a little bit of credit for him finding that, because he was actually having coffee with me and clearly was so bored, was searching for something on his computer. So
see what can happen. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Well, you know what the punchline of me live blogging was? I paid attention in a way I never have ever in my life to one of these, because usually I'm in the back shooting the shit with somebody, you know, or checking email, or you know, doing I'm distracted,
kind of like what he was doing with coffee with me.
That's right
yeah when you're live blogging, you it's a kind of a pressure type of a thing. I've seen many teams live blogging events, you know, the CNET folks and so forth, and it's, you know, and how about the guys that do the Macworld, you know, Steve Jobs speeches and stuff like that. I mean, you really have to pay attention. You got to be fast with the fingers, you know. And
well, here's what I found interesting. I got an email from a guy that I met at the social media breakfast at Deluxe, who had watched the live blog, and we went back and forth on email a few times. And as I was live blogging, I was thinking, geez, you know, in a day of Ustream and the ability to stream stuff live, how valuable is live blogging in comparison? And his response was, I don't have 4 hours to sit in front of my computer, and you guys were basically giving me all of the nuggets that were necessary for me to get out of an event that I'm not going to. And if I don't pay attention for a period of time, I can come back and catch up. And I thought that was really an interesting way to look at it that I hadn't thought about.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal. I mean, the way we handled it as a team, we were, you know, in two different areas covering two different rooms. And I'm looking forward to being able to take a little time to sit down and go through the stuff, even though I was there, that I didn't get to participate in. So it'll be, it really helps out a whole lot with the whole track thing, which what most conferences and gatherings are going to now. If you want us, if you have two conflicting sessions that you want to go to both, now you can deal with it. I think that's a great opportunity, and it was fun to do, and I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Well, maybe we can do it at MEMA Summit. You know, there's lots of breakouts there too, where you need, you know, multiple people, covering sessions in a case like this. I bet they'd love to have us do it at MEMA Summit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got the workflow down and the process down and the tool down, and it'd be pretty trivial to do it again.
Yeah, still want to figure out a way. You know, I wish there was a way to process video faster. Still got to work on that a little bit. So.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, you know what? You haven't tried. You got to put your hand on the monitor right above where the little webcam is and go,
it just sort of dawned on me. I was using one flip, HD. And you know, if I had two, it would be a lot easier to do because while one was uploading, I could definitely take the other one. And because there were a couple of things, it took me probably about halfway through the morning sessions to figure out the best way to, when to upload and when not to upload.
Yep. Yep. You mean in terms of people using the Wi-Fi, right?
Well, yeah, just in terms of, you know, I can't use the Minnow when it's uploading. So,
yep.
Get two. Cough up another couple $100 and you're in business.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? Debt load is a wonderful thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, all right, guys. Yeah, I think what we're going to do, Graham, I captured a couple of interviews, but one of them didn't come out because I forgot to put my iPhone in airplane mode, so you can hear lots of stuff going on, chatter in the background. And the other one, I was standing right next to the guy playing the guitar.
Oh,
so
nice.
The guitar sounds great. The interview does not. So this is very atypical for me. Yours are all awesome. So what I'd like to do is put those, maybe I'll make two files. We'll do two files, this podcast and then a separate file, and do all the interviews as part of it.
Sure.
Okay.
I have to edit together a couple of, I've got about a little over a half dozen interviews of some folks outside after the event with their takeaway. So I'll try
great.
To edit that up and get that posted here in the next day. And also I wanted to say thanks to anybody. Well, first, if you found us via going to Blogwell, but also to those folks that were new. It was great to see people involved in social media that we don't necessarily see at all the other social media events. So always good to see new faces in the space.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we had a great group there, and you know, it was great meeting some out of towners as well. You know, the CEO of CoTweet, had a good interview with him, and the folks from Jive Software and so forth. It was tremendous. Maybe we'll get to go to another one someday. You never know. They'll invite us back. They seem to really like what we did. As far as live blogging, I'll bet they haven't had anybody do it quite like that for them before.
No, I don't think so. It was great until we pushed Phil Neiman down the stairs. Other than that, it was Phil.
Who'd you push down the stairs? Oh, Phil. I missed it. You dropped out there for a minute.
Okay.
So I would have sworn you would have said Tim.
Oh.
Oh, well, there's the end bell.
Oh, my gosh. All right, guys.
Time to go.
Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
Yep, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Come on.
We'll be right back.